Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? You guys good? Happy New Year. Yes, to 2020. Hey, we got Metro in the house. Can we make some noise for Metro? What's up, Metro? What's up? So those of you who might not know, we've got a campus in this in the south part of a town called Metro. It's in Plaza Midwood. And so if you're a live stream, we got a live stream as well. I think we've made some noise for them. But hey, we're glad you're here as well. Hey, we've got this campus. So if you want to check out this experience there, you can do that as well. I'm so grateful, man. I'm so grateful. That's the one word I think about, especially when I watch this video. I mean, we've been doing this for like 13 years. For those of you who do not know, we've been at it for 13 years, and God's been so faithful, so faithful. I'm so grateful for all of you guys. It's really great to like watch one of those videos because it's just a recap of all that God's allowed us to experience. And I just want to say again and again, thankful. Thank you to all of you who volunteer. Thank you for all of you who give, who serve. I mean, we've ended the year so great, and we've got a lot of amazing opportunities, pretty exciting opportunities that are going to be coming up next year. So, hey, can we just give God a hand, ourselves a hand? I want to give you a hand. Can we make some noise all around, Metro? Yes. We are glad. Love this church. Love to be a part. So obviously we're talking about the word for 2020. What's your word for 2020? Now, the word I heard before we went there was the word magical. Because we went to Universal Studios, like Disney, right? Heard the word was magical. Magical. That is not what I experienced, okay? Let me just tell you right now. Magical is not the word. Lines is a word. Waiting is a word. By the way, I think part of my problem is that I'm not a roller coaster guy. Anybody, any roller coaster fans here? Just love roller coasters. Just love them. Let's love them. All right, great. Well, the first service, obviously, are my people. Right. Okay. Metro, you guys love roller coasters? Okay, so what about people who don't? You don't like roller coasters? Okay, we got some. You know what's really disappointing? When you wait 3 hours for a simulator ride. That lasts four minutes. Magical is not the word. It's not the word. But it was fun. Our family went there, and on my side, and so we had a lot of cousins there. The kids had so much fun. It was all great. It was magical, friends. It was magical. It's the word. But this morning, though, I want to talk about a word that I want you to press in and actually hear, and that will set the intention for the year for you. Or maybe in just a month for you, but set the intention. Like, so I just started doing some yoga, and I've got a friend here who's a yogi, and in her practice, she started using this, or she's been using it as the first time I heard it, and she was like, I want you to set your intention for this experience. Like, so if you've ever done yoga, okay, some of them say that. And when I heard that, I was like, set my intention. My intention is to be more flexible, like that, and not make a fool out of myself. That's my intention. My intention is actually do this downward dog right. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't look like a humped over cow. I don't even know. Like, I want to do this right. Like, that's my intention. But as I experience it more and more, I get it. I get the idea of like setting your intention about a moment, an experience, some time. And I just wonder, like, could we be so intentional about setting our intention? And what does that look like? I think it's connected to the word that I believe that God wants to speak to you and into your soul. And I think there's a power of that. I mean, there's a power because words have the ability to set expectations. right? They do. And they have the ability to also like allow you to focus. They do so many things. I mean, in fact, there are phrases or words that you've heard, and you're like, oh, man, I love this. I really want to use this. And you do this. You do the whole word for the year, every year. I just thought, you know, what is there some, not just truth, but is there some potency in setting one, the first Sunday, and just talking about this word that maybe God has for you. And I want to say maybe, but I don't think it's maybe. I think it really is. God has a word for you, but there's something you and I have to do to actually get to a place to be able to listen to him. So what I want to do is I want to take you to a passage of scripture. If you can, if you got a Bible, if you got a phone, grab that. I'm going to be talking about going through the NIV translation, and I'm going to be in Matthew, which is in the Gospels, okay? So while you're doing that, also I want to point your attention to these cards. Did you get one of these? Anybody? Did you get one of these? If you grab them, maybe you're sitting on one. Did you get them? I know Metro, you got one too. If you have them, can you wave them in the air? Can you wave them in the air? Yeah? Can you wave them in the air? Like you just don't care? Can you do that? All right? That joke has got to get retired at some point. But maybe not. Maybe never. But I want you to have one of these. I want you to take one, two, three. Maybe take a... We have a lot of them, so take a bunch of them, take them to your office, take them to your place of work, take them to your school, campus, dorm room, whatever, and I think it's be really helpful for you. Also, if you look closely, in the top it says Naeem Fazel Podcast. Actually, I did a podcast, or I started a podcast several months ago, and I did a whole episode on this idea of a word, and I just thought, you know what, I think we need to take this conversation, because it's more than just spiritual, it's holistic, and it's really important for all of us to engage in it. So please use this as conversation pieces. If you love Mosaic, let's spread the word about Mosaic. Let's pack up all our services, and let's see... how God can use us to really impact people's lives this year. So use this if you want to. Make sure you grab one of these as you leave. Now, let's jump into our passage. This is in Matthew. Can you say Matthew? Okay, let's try it one more time. Okay, like you've said Matthew before. Okay, okay. Your favorite football team won, let's see what else. And you just won the lottery. What else? You showed up at Disney and there was no waiting, right? Can you say Matthew one more time? Matthew. Nice, Matthew. Okay, Matthew 14. So what we're doing here is we're going to go through a passage where Jesus is, he's approaching his disciples. So what has happened is he's fed 5,000 people. He sent them on their way. He wanted to get alone and pray. And then he comes towards them. So here's where we pick it up. So it says here, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Let's just stop right there, which is always fun to do, by the way, okay? Because that's what everybody does. They walk on the lake, right? No, it's Jesus. He's doing his thing. He's walking on the lake. When his disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were what? Terrified. They're terrified. What did they say? It's a ghost, they said. They cried out in fear, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be what? Don't be afraid. Which is really profound here, because I think one of the things that it tells us is that in the midst of a storm in life, regardless if it's physical, emotional, psychological, when you're in the midst of a storm, God seems like a ghost. Your ability and my ability to actually recognize God in the midst of a storm seriously deteriorates when you're in a storm. Like God could be the one approaching you. God could be the one actually comforting you. God could be the one actually coming towards you. And the first thing you think is you're terrified, you're anxious, and it seems like it's a ghost. And so often, isn't it, that where God has to actually tell us through other people even, hey, in the midst of this pain, in the midst of this, it's actually me. I'm trying to get to you. Which is really fascinating. So I wonder if you're in this place right now, or you've been in this place and you understand it so you can relate. But he says, hey, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid, which is great, because it's a word of like, take what? Courage, which next week we're starting a brand new series called Courageous, in which we're going to talk about what does it take for us to push fear aside, and in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our fear, courageously do some things. So we're gonna spend some time with that. But I want you to understand something right here. Jesus is talking to one person or a couple of people? A couple of people, right? He's talking to a whole boat full of people. He says, take courage. It is a word for them. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, which is interesting, okay? Which is good. And then the first thing that happens is what? The first guy who starts talking is, if you've heard this story before, you've read it before, who starts talking first? Peter. Peter. And the first thing he says is, oh, it is you. No. He doesn't even believe Jesus was telling the truth. Here's why. Because he says what? Lord, if it is, I don't know. I can't see you. If it is you, here's the proof. Here's it. Tell me to come on to you on the water. Which, again, if you're one of the disciples sitting there or like freaking out because there was a storm going on, and Peter starts talking about, hey, if it's you, tell me to come to you and walk into the water. I'm sure, like even Matthew going, that's the first thing that came to your mind? Really? That's the first thing. You could ask for, like, let's stop the waves. Let's quiet this thing down. Let's get a lot of rocking. I've threw up everything. You know what I'm saying? We fed the 5,000s. I had too much fish tacos. I need to, you know? No. The first thing Peter comes up with was, I want to walk on water. The first thing, which is ironic, you know, have you noticed like there are certain people in the midst of a storm in life, certain people will react totally contrary to what they should act like. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a situation, you should panic. Most people panic. Some people are like super happy. You're like, what's wrong? You did this, didn't you? Like you're a part of this? Like what happened? Like the people in your life and people in my life that you're like, okay, it's unnerving for all of us that you're not worried because everybody should be worried right now. You know, things happen. No, Peter is like, I want to walk on water. If it's you, now if Jesus heard this, what is he thinking? He's like, okay, I just said I'm Jesus. But if it's you, okay, so you don't even believe me. And what else do you want? And you want to walk on... You don't even believe me, but you want to walk on water. And then what happens? Then Jesus says what? Come. It was the word. It was the one word. It's not just like, okay, try it. You know? Like, I mean, isn't it interesting how we have trouble coming to God and asking him for prayer? Because we struggle with like sin and stuff and guilt and shame, and we're like, oh God, I'm so. Have you start like this? Like you start your prayers like you start with I'm sorry, right? Anyway, if you do that, like I know I'm sorry. Like that's the posture, right? Peter has messed up so many times, right? So many times. The first thing he goes is like he goes, I want to be like you. I want to do what you are doing. He just goes beyond that. I don't even believe in everything, but I want to do what you do. And for some reason, Jesus, who represents God here, is saying when people act like that in the midst of their imperfection, like us, when humanity in the midst of its imperfection steps out and makes a claim or moves towards I want to be bold and I want to be like you, God doesn't respond with, are you serious right now? Because you can't get on my level. What seems like every time God goes, I like it. Now it's so counterintuitive to the guilt and shame that we feel like we need to come in God's presence, isn't it? I wonder if God's saying, hey, this imperfection you have is actually a gift. It's actually a gift because if you were perfect, you wouldn't need my grace, and guess what? You wouldn't even need my power. So this is a gift. So you use this gift, come boldly, and if you want to be like me, the first thing I'll say is, come on. Now, come is not like a word he heard that sounded good, like Peter's going, you said yes? It's more than permission. It comes with so much more. It's one of those words like have you ever trolled Instagram and you find a quote and you're like, oh, I love this. Oh, this is my life right now. I love this. I'm going to tattoo this thing. Oh, this is great. You love it. It sounds good. It was really not for you. It's not even true, but you like it. You like it. It got you, it give you goosey bumps. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, yes. I love it. It's trending. It's hot. There's a hashtag. You're like, I'm doing this. I got it. Okay? And you adopt the word. It's not necessarily for you, but you like it because it's for our culture, so we use it. Well, this word that he got from God was a little bit more, right? It was a little bit more. It was not like he heard something that someone said. No, it was he asked and he got a word that said, come. So it came with not just my permission, like, yes, it is my will for you. It also came with maybe a couple of other P words. It came with maybe more power. You're going to actually be able to do this. Now let's try it. You're going to actually be able to do this. This is not just permission. This is my power. Come. When I'm telling you this, I'm giving you my power. I'm also giving you a promise. It comes with a promise too. You're going to be able to do this. And it comes with a promise that all the things you have to face getting here and attempting this, I got it. I got you. Like it came with more than just, hey, come on, try. No, it's like, I got you. I'm excited. I believe in you. It came with so many other things. See, when God's word comes with so many more things when it's personal, when it's for a group of people, I don't know if it's that potent. But if it's for you, from you, it's pretty significant. And so what happens? Peter, what does he do? He was like, I didn't hear you? No, he didn't. What happened? He heard faintly, it's a storm going on. He's a ways away. So if Peter's here, maybe, you know, I don't know, Jesus is way away. I mean, they're yelling, screaming. There's a storm going on. It's not quiet. Waves, all kinds of stuff. Barely see him. Trying to hear him. He goes, I think he said come. I think he said come. Or I don't know, maybe he said, maybe don't try this or don't come. I don't think I heard don't come or come on or come on like, really? I think he said come. So he doesn't even think about it. He doesn't even know if it's God because he's like, if it's you, I don't know if it's you. And then he steps out, which I've always wondered, like what was the first step, right? Have you thought this before? I have. I mean, when I first came to faith in Jesus, I mean, this was like 25 years ago, college student, guess who tried to walk on water? Yours truly. Took one step though. It was a one, two, and I was in. But I always like, oh, if I just, I could have faith. I could have faith. I could do it. Has anyone else, by the way, tried this? Yes! Thank you, sir. And can I get another? Can I get Metro? Anybody? You know, whatever, okay? You guys need to be adventurous, first of all. You never know. You never know, friends, right? Yeah. Anyways, we're going to do this. We're gonna make this happen. So so I've wondered, what happened? Did he start off and go, whoo? Or did he was like, oh. And then did he do a tap dance? This is good. This is great. Did any of the other guys, they were like in shock? What happened? I want to know what happened. Because we read this and it feels like it's so flat, but it's not. It's multi-layered. So he gets off the boat. Now he's on the waves, which is out there. It's out there. Now Jesus is a ways away. He's a ways away because he's walking towards him. And he starts walking. He starts walking. What happens, right? So it says here that he says he starts walking. But when he saw the, can you help me with that? When he saw the what? Can you see the wind? He saw the wind, which is the best definition of how humanity worries. We begin to see things that don't exist. So it's the first thing that happens. He goes, he saw the wind. I'm like, I see it. I see it because that's where he is, right? You begin to, your mind manifests things that are not necessarily true. And he says, you can experience the wind. Of course you can. You can feel the wind. Yeah, but you can't see it. But he saw the wind, because when he saw what was going on, what happened? He was afraid, and he began to what? Sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And he said this, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Now, let's just stop right here. So what happens is you got Peter who steps outside. He hears from God. He steps out. He starts walking. We also know this, that there was a point where he could barely see Jesus. He started walking, because when he starts sinking, what did Jesus do? He didn't run towards him. He what? He reached out his hand. So that means he was closer to Jesus than when he was when he first started out. Isn't this interesting? How, I mean, I can relate. It seems like when I'm going through things, the closer I get to God, the more I doubt him. It feels like I can be so close and I'm sinking. Like you could be in the middle of your storm, middle of your situation, middle of your crisis, middle of whatever that's going on, and you're like, I'm sinking, and it feels so far away, but you're actually closer to God when you started out. And then Jesus, you know, he sticks out his hand, and the first thing he says is what? He says, "You of what? Little faith," which again, like the way I've been communicated this, I was like, "Ooh, that's not nice, Jesus." Right? Has anybody else thought that? Yes. It's like, that's not, you know, like the leadership 101, first of all. Okay. First of all, you don't, when someone tries to try something, okay, even if they fail in a project, the first thing you don't say is, "What happened, buddy? Nice try. Not quite good enough, huh?" You don't do that. Any leadership coach, any parent would tell you, like, no, that's not, that. You don't do that. What do you do? The first thing you do is you encourage them. You go, "Hey, nice try. I wonder though, if this has been misinterpreted. I wonder, because the idea, the phrase, little faith, is a message that Jesus actually taught about. Did you know that? He said he actually wanted people to have little faith, because he said, if you have faith of a mustard seed faith, you can move mountains. So he wanted people to be, you have little faith. I just wonder if it wasn't something encouraging that said, "Hey," and then he says this though, then he turns and makes it personal. He says, "Why did you doubt?" Now here's where we go. We link those two together. I wonder, the first one was a, "Hey, I'm talking to you, you have little faith," because guess what? Guess what? If it's Peter, and if he believes that, if he actually believes that Jesus is like criticizing him and not encouraging him, he's probably thinking, let me just tell you who don't have any faith. The dudes in the boat. They're still in the boat. I'm sinking, but I'm here. Those guys have no faith. No. So I think there's more going on. But then Jesus goes, "Why did you doubt me?" Which I think that is, that's something to wrestle with. Because I don't think Jesus is saying, "Why did you doubt your ability to do miraculous things?" I think Jesus was saying, "Hey, do you actually think I was going to watch you drown? Do you actually think that I was going to stand here, you obeying, you pressing in to hearing my voice, hearing a word, stepping out, walking all this way till you get to me, and I'm just going to stand here as you sink? Do you actually believe that, bro?" Because here's what happens, right? What happens is that we don't know if it's God. We hear, and then we start moving forward. And when we begin to see things that don't exist, when worry takes over, and then when worry actually becomes manifest, it's actually fear. It takes over our lives, and then we begin to not just doubt God's ability to heal or to provide. I mean, you know this, and I know this. Okay? Every time you have a delayed prayer, right? You and I move from doubting not God's ability, but doubting God's character. We always do that. Do you really love me? Do you actually, what, care? See, all of humanity, even atheists, they don't, if you really have a conversation with them and look into all of the doubts and conversations they're talking about, their question is never about God's existence. It's not. It's about God's concern. Because who cares if God exists if God doesn't care? Because people, and atheists, and even we, as soon as there's something going on, we go, if there was a God, what? He would not allow these things. And so here, Jesus is like, you think I'm actually going to stand here and watch you drown? Which I wonder if he's saying the same thing to some of us. You think I'm going to sit here and stand here and watch you drown? So he gets him up, right? And they walk over. They walk over. And here's what's funny, right? As soon as they get to the boat, what happens? Storm's done, which is just perfect timing, isn't it? This story is such spiritual life right here, right? All of a sudden, when you have God's presence, you're like, oh, you don't even need him. It's like, oh, okay, great, great. And then here's what's interesting. What's interesting is when they got in the boat, this last verse, let me read this to you. It says, then, help me out with this, okay, Metro? Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, what? Truly, you are the Son of God. I knew it. I just knew it. Peter doubted. I knew. I just knew. Of course. I knew it. God. I just knew it. I just knew it. Whew. I knew it. Why didn't you get out of the boat? My back. I've got this thing, you know. But as soon as you got in, I just knew. As soon as you stepped into the boat, Jesus, I just knew. I just want to worship you right now. Let's give me a moment. Everybody just say, Jesus. Peter's like, are you serious? Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? See, I think the writer, I think the scriptures are so intentional. And I think the reason why we have that passage or have that line in there is because it really doesn't matter what you say when you're in the boat. It matters what you do outside the boat. All day, every day. All day, every day. It doesn't matter. And by the way, the distance between the distance and the experience that some of us forfeit because we stay in the boat, we don't even understand what we're saying no to, because that time, I just want you to know, the time of him walking on water to Jesus, right, and him having that experience, that was one experience. But just stop and think of the other experience. You're with Jesus walking on water to the boat. And the dudes are all looking at you. You're not even sinking now. Now you're like, yes, I got it. Like, now you got swag. Now you're taking your time. Hey, can we just stop right here? Look at this. Oh, wow. Look at that. I think that's a dolphin. You saw dolphins. Dolphins. Wow. Oh, my gosh. So amazing. Just have a moment, Jesus. Okay, we'll take our time. And then he eventually gets in there. That experience, friends, only people who press in, not even sure if it's God, hear him and respond, get that. We all get the drowning. We don't all get the, so wow, walking on water with me, huh? Pretty awesome. I'm so journaling this right now. Okay. All right. I wish Instagram was going to be a thing. Like, I thought it was, I hope it was a thing right now, because this would be so many likes right now. I don't even know. I mean, you don't get that. And here's the key. The key is understanding. It doesn't matter what Jesus told the crowd. Take courage. It matters when he tells you something personally. When you press in to hear him for yourself. You see, this story has so many layers to it, because I think it reveals to us the reason why some of us have walked away or sunk or have found ourselves disappointed. Do you know why? Because you've heard a word that God told a group of people, and you took it as a word for your life. But you never took the time to hear a word for you. And so now your faith for all these years has been rested on someone else's word, on someone else's revelation, on someone else's experience, on someone else's idea of who God is. And so wouldn't it be great this year, regardless if you're on live stream or Metro campus or here, regardless when you're hearing this, wouldn't it be great to stop and go, I'm going to get a word from me. Not for us, for me, because my faith needs to rest on the word that God gave me. See, when you hear a word that sinks into your soul, it gets you out of wherever you are and begins for you to step into doing something that is beyond your capacity and even failing at it, but then walking with Jesus in the midst of a miracle all the way back. See, I wonder if so many of us have just kind of lost it. We've never really pushed ourselves to really understand that. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here, okay? When you get a word, I wrote down what benefits. Like I wrote down, like, when you hear a word from God, it does a couple of things. One, it clarifies things. It makes it very clear. It makes it very, very plain. Very, very, very just crystal clear. Let me ask you this, just a survey, quick survey here. How many of you follow, in directions on your phone or your device, you follow maps? And how many of you follow Waze? So any maps followers here? Let me see. Maps. Okay, maps. Waze. Oh, wow, same amount. I don't like Waze. I just don't. You know why? I don't know why. It's too many options. It's just too many. Like Ashley and I, we're like opposites on things. She's always on Waze. I'm like, where are we even going? What's going on? There's so many things popping up. There are things walking around. They're like, what are we doing? Like, I don't want to know where everything is. I want to know where I'm going. Maps is like, it's bare bone. It's bare bone. Like, to me, it clarifies, okay? I don't know for how much you need clarity, but we all do at certain degrees. I think when you get a word, it clarifies. It just says, you know what? All those things are not even an option right now, because right now I'm doing this. So it clarifies. It also unleashes you. It unleashes you. And here's what I mean by that. It unleashes you by it gives you the freedom to go, you know what? I'm not saying no to this thing forever. I'm just doing this right now. It sets you free. It sets you free to go, you know what? I'm okay. I'm going to go all out on this. It actually sets you free. Sometimes when you hear a word from God, like some people have been already using this, these cards, and they're putting it on their social media. I know for Ashley, it's been Simplify. I mean, for her, I mean, it frees her up. For others, it's Celebrate. This idea of like, okay, this is what, this 2020, I'm walking into a celebration. So it sets you free from this this need to always feel like you're winning or you're not winning or competing or trying to keep score. It unleashes you. For others of you, it might even direct you. And what I mean by that is it can direct your energy and resources. Like if you get a word, If you get a word, think of the word courage. Now, we're going to start a series on that next week, talking about courage. And I've just been thinking about it, okay, what would I do? How would my finances look different? How would my relationships look different? If I insisted on being courageous this year? Like, so all the conversations I don't want to have, how many of you, by the way, have conversations you don't want to have? Anybody? You've got some conversations? I don't want to have those. There are people I don't want to see this year, right? There are things I just don't want to do. Anybody want to not do anything? I'm all about that. There's so many things I just don't want to do. I just don't want to do. But what would it look like if I use the word courage and say, I'm going to courageously do that? I think it gives you energy and resources to go, I'm going to do this. There might be other things, but I'm going to do this. And what is that word from you? Endurance, perseverance. As a staff, we did the same thing. I asked our staff, I said, what's the word for each of you? And we prayed over each word for each of our staff member. Just because it gives us the power, and it has the power to just take all the resources and go, okay, there's so many things I can do, but if grace is the word, I'm going to be gracious more than anything else. Have you ever, by the way, gone through a conversation and thought, okay, whatever happens, don't say this, 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 and that, and then you say this, this, and that, and more of that. More of that. I mean, I recently did the same thing. I was like, I'm not going to say this. Don't say this. Don't say this. I somehow start with it. I was like, what? It's easier for me to just go, okay, when I have this conversation, because it's complicated and hard and has a little bit of conflict, here's the one thing I am going to do. So I've walked into conversations and go, just be kind. Regardless, just be kind. Just be kind. You can do anything else, just be kind. It's just so much easier for me to go, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be kind. Which, by the way, that's the culture of, we have a culture of kindness here at Mosaic. It's not because we're great at so many things. We just focus on certain things. We're like, hey, we just want a culture of kindness. We don't have to be right. I mean, and we don't have to be perfect, because I know you guys and I know me. Whew! Okay? But kind, we can be. We can be. So it directs. The other thing it does also, it solicits. Words that you get from God has the power to solicit. What do you mean? It has the power to actually solicit help from other people. When other people see you doing this, they go, oh, you're going to focus, you're going to simplify, or you're going to be courageous, or you're going to endure. Okay, you're going to celebrate. Or the one word from our staff member, Vinny Candelore, he's our youth pastor, his word was together, together. He's like, I'm gonna start. This is my word for the year. Is I'm gonna do this together with other people, including other people, everything I'm doing. It solicits other people's help without even you knowing it. People want to join in, and some people will do this. They'll take your word and use it. They're like, you know what? I want to do that too. And you should tell them, hey, listen, be kind about it, and go, hey, get your own stinking word. Okay, just get your own. I love you. That's mine. Fifth one is it gives you the ability to persist. That means it helps you persevere. Like, could you imagine if you got a word and you just lived it out this year, and maybe you're one of those, you're like, I'm not a whole year kind of guy. Fine, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's just the first month. Whatever it is, I wonder if you would press in and hear from God, how things would change. There's a passage of scripture I want to read to you. It's in John 6, and I was going to read you two passages, but I'm just going to read you this last one. This is a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. He has just said some things that has made hundreds of people who follow him unfollow him, okay? And they're like, we're done. We're done. You just said this. We're done. So here, Jesus has a moment. So here, John 6. 67, verse 67, it says, then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked. And so this is a very vulnerable question. Are you what? Are you also going to leave? Are you also going to leave? I mean, just look at the humanity there. And then Peter, the guy who walked on water, right? He was like, Lord? To whom? To whom would we go? He's like, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? And then he says, you have the words that give what? Say it out one more time. Give what? Eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. He's like, hey, I don't even understand what you said, but where are we going to go? Because one word from you, one word gives us an eternal perspective. It gives us this eternal hope. It gives us life. Not life, not like words from you get us to heaven. He's not saying that. He's saying more than that. He's saying your words give us the power to live on earth. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? And so for some of you, I just need you to know this, that you don't need a word from someone else, someone you love and trust and all that. No, you need a word from the one. And if you're like, name, he doesn't talk to me. I get it. I get it. I get it. I understand. It's harder for some people to hear him. It just is. I get it. But he's willing. I promise you, he's talking to you more than you have spent time asking him to. So just ask him and bug him and stop and go in the middle. Say, is that he? I don't even know if it's you. You start with doubt. It's okay. And go, but just say the word. Tell me, what is it? Because that word gives eternal life. And friends, if more than ever, we need that. We need not words from people. We need words from him to us, because it will anchor our souls. You know, just the last couple of, last week, like just the what's going on in the world and in the U.S. I mean, there's rumors of wars. If you've been on the news, if you're watching too much news, maybe the word is stop. But I get it. I get it. It's so easy to go, what's going to happen? And I've been through a war, so I was like, oh my gosh, you got Iraq, Iran again, you got troops being sent out, families, you know, being uprooted. I mean, this is a mess. What's going on? And I got to tell you this, in the midst of all this, I just want you to know, do not make the mistake of putting your hope in the words of people in power. It will always disappoint. It always disappoints. Don't go, I need to hear a word of security. I need to hear the right word from the right person in power. No, you don't. You need a word that's eternal, and it comes from the source, because it'll get you through. It'll get us through this storm. It'll get you through this storm, and we'll set the intention for the year of your life. So make sure you do that. No. Get a word for you, for yourself. You have no excuse. By the way, sin is not an excuse. Let's say it again. Sin is not an excuse. It's just not. Because Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. And he made a way for all of us. So let me pray for us. And let's get that word. Let's stand together. Can we do that? In fact, Metro, would you grab one of these as well? Grab these, and if you guys are here, just grab this. I wanna do something. It's kind of unique. I want you to just have the one in your hand, and I just want to pray over it. I want to kind of do a dedication, a blessing. And you might go, oh, I know exactly what the word is, or you're like, I'm not quite sure. Just grab one of these. Grab one of these. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for intention. I thank you, Lord God, that our lives are filled with all the grace that we can experience. God, that surrounding us is your mercy. You are our defender. You are our rescuer. You are our healer. You are a provider. You do so many things. But also, God, you are the one who communicates to us. You are the word of life. You are the eternal word. You give us eternal life. Your word gives us eternal life. And your word has made, and you, being the word, have
have manifested, have entered into human history, and you've walked among us. So God, I pray in Jesus' name for the word, for a person here, it's their word for their business, maybe it's their word for their marriage, it's their word for their dating relationships, it's a word for their worry, it's a word for their soul, their heart, their mind. God, I know you want to speak to us. So in Jesus' name, I pray for this word. I pray, God, that it would be the anchor of our souls, the anchor of our souls, and it would birth in us eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.